Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this Sunday after Thanksgiving and the first Sunday of Advent. The Pastoral Search Committee will meet on Wednesday at 6:30. We invite you downstairs for coffee and conversation, and then we're going to decorate the church for the Christmas season. Would you stand, please, and join in the call to worship as it appears in your bulletin. Watch, wait, the day of the Lord is at hand.
Look upon our tree, God's promises are about to blossom.
Stay awake, the reign of God is near.
We are here, watching and waiting with hope.
May God bring justice to all people on this day.
May God's reign come on earth as in heaven.
You may be seated.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, for those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, My God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen."
The first Advent candle symbolizes hope and promise. As we light the first Advent candle, we hope for the fuller brightness of the one that is to come. We want it to remind us for what God will give us and to see what he has already given. Let us pray. O God, we want to thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ, not just in with words, but also with deeds. Help us to be grateful every day. Help us to meet our friends with understanding, our work with willingness, our responsibilities with patience. You have given so much to us. Help us to give to those who need us and our gifts, especially at this season of giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Turn in your hymnals to hymn number 136, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers.
Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your lights appear. The evening is advancing, and darker night is near. The Lord is now arising, and soon he will draw nigh. Up, watch in expectation, at midnight comes the cry. See that your lamps are burning, replenish them with oil. Look now for your salvation, the end of sin and toil. The one on the mountain proclaim the Lord is near. Go meet him as he comes now with alleluia's clear. All you who wait his coming, rehearse the joyful song, which we will sing in glory with all the angel throng. The holy feast is waiting, the gates wide open stand. Rise up, you heirs of glory, the Master is at hand. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun, so longed for, above this darkened sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free.
Shall we pray? Who are we, Lord God, that you should come to us? You have visited your people and redeemed us in your Son. As we prepare to celebrate his birth, make our hearts leap for joy at the sound of your word and move us by your Spirit to bless your wonderful works. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our first reading today is from Psalm 122, and that can be found in the Pew Bible on page 471.
Okay. A song of
ascents
of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you.
Peace would be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and company's sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good.
Good, buddy. Okay, and our second reading is Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. And that one can be found on page 758 in your Pew Bible. Wait until people look ready. Okay.
But
concerning
that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in
marriage
until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were
unaware
until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women and will be
grinding
at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day.
Your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect.
We'll call upon our ushers to receive our tithes and offerings. We took the Covenant Kids Congo offering last Sunday, so we won't take it again. The psalmist says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Gifts we bring are our expressions of thanks for who you are and what you mean to us. As we present them to you, we want you to know that we are available to you. We commit ourselves to love and serve you with grateful hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may be seated. pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give to us. We're especially mindful of them during this season of Thanksgiving. And at the same time, we realize that there are people in our world lacking those very blessings: adequate food, clean water, health care, and access to education. We would remember the country of Indonesia as they have dealt with this earthquake involving loss of life and property. We pray that they may recover from that devastating event. We pray for Ukraine, as the people there are without electricity and heat and water. And we pray for our own country that has experienced now, within the last few days, two incidents of gun violence. We pray that there might be an end to that violence. We thank you for our public service personnel, for our police force, for our sheriff's deputies, and for our fire department. We thank you for their protection, and we pray that you would keep them safe. And we would remember Grace Koski and Sarah Skogman as they serve in this area. We thank you for our church. Be with us during this time of transition, and lead us and guide us as we look for the pastor that you would have for us. Be with us now during this Advent season, when we remember the birth of your Son, and as we look forward to his coming again. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Before Mike comes to bring us the message of the morning, let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 146, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come.
It's 141.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to skip your message, Mike. Come and share with us at this time.
Once again, shalom. That is wishing you peace, prosperity, health and salvation of our God, and everything good to come your way. This morning, I'd like to challenge us on witnessing. I know that's not the title of the sermon. I figured if I put witnessing as a title to the sermon, nobody would come, because we don't like to necessarily hear a message about witnessing. I'm going to challenge us, and most of you know by now that I like to challenge our thinking, because our thinking and this book are sometimes different. We've come to this place in the 21st century with two distinct ideas about witnessing. The first idea we have is that going to church, being a churchgoer, is witnessing. And so we're encouraged, or maybe I should talk about my own life. I've been encouraged all my life that going to church is a witness to the community that we're Christians. And it is a witness, believe me. It is interesting to me that when people drive down, what is this? Third Street? Third Avenue? That's right, I live on an avenue, I should know. That on Sunday morning, you see these groups of cars, right? And it's not groups of cars for work, it's groups of cars around churches. And we've got several churches along this row here. So I'm not saying that's wrong, I'm just saying that's one of our ideas about witnessing. The second idea about witnessing that we have is the one that I really want to challenge this morning. Get us to think about. Think about the life of Jesus. As you know, whenever I have questions about theology and things look like I can't quite understand it, when I'm currently reading the book of Isaiah, and I tell you what, it just is hard to understand. I didn't live in those days. I'm not a Hebrew Jew, as we call them today. So it's a little bit difficult to understand. This concept I want to challenge today is what witnessing is. And that's why the title of the message today is Testimony. I have been trained probably in half a dozen different methods of our concept today in the 21st century about witnessing. Four spiritual laws, four steps to peace with God. I think that was Billy Graham's method. The Romans Road and different systems like that. And I've used them. I remember one time in the class where we were being trained, and I think at that time it was the four steps to peace with God. And that we were trained how to do it. And then we were to pair up with somebody in the room to practice. And so there was this young guy. I was young at the time too, by the way. That was sitting sort of next to me, so I paired up with him and I practiced on him. And at the end of the little booklet, there was just silence, and I didn't know where to go with it. And this young guy looked at me and said, "I'd like to accept Jesus." In practicing, he found the Lord. Can you believe that? Isn't that just crazy? You just never know where the Holy Spirit is at work. Completely out of the blue. But all of us have had times in our lives where God has just shown up and we had no clue. And there he was. The Holy Spirit was at work. Well, I want to challenge that. I'm not saying those are bad. In fact, I'm saying those methods are great. I've used those methods all through my life, talking to people. I'm glad that I got those trainings, different kinds of trainings. But I want to talk about what witnessing really is. And I'd like to start with this, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Because this is probably, to me, the most powerful verse about witnessing in all of the scriptures. Now, to give you a little background, in Revelation, we are in the end times. Or as Dr. David Jeremiah says, he kind of does a play on words, and he says, everybody wants to know about the end of the world. And he said, what I want to talk about is the world of the end. And he believes we are in the world of the end, considering all that's happening in the world and the decline of the United States morally and ethically and spiritually. We are in the world of the end, moving toward the second coming of Jesus. And so Revelation is at that place, and here in Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, and they, speaking of the believers, overcame him, that would be Satan and his companions and cohorts, because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. I want to mention just briefly that those very last words, they did not love their life even to death. It is my personal belief that anyone who is going into severe persecution and at a place, and it's happening all over the world today. I heard on the radio, I don't know the statistics, but or not on the radio, but on the Christian television, that more people are being martyred today than ever have been in all of the history of the world. And you wonder, or I wonder, here this person is at that point in time, and they are at a place where if they choose to say they're not a Christian, they can live. But if they continue obstinately to say that they're a Christian, they're going to be tortured and killed. How do you, at that point in time, make that decision? And some choose to die, and some choose to deny. It's been happening since the beginning of time, and certainly since the life of Jesus. And so it's my opinion that before you get to that place, you've got to figure out, as Revelation 12, 11 says, and they did not love their life even to death. Not going to talk about that today, but just want to place that as a challenge. I remember, I think it was Dr. Jeremiah said that a friend of his, a pastor friend of his, went to the hospital to visit one of his parishioners that was hospitalized, and walking in, the doctor was walking out of the room and informed this pastor that the individual had passed away. And the doctor looked at this pastor and said, you know what? You need to teach your people how to die. Indicating that that person struggled at that moment with dying and going to be with Jesus. And that was a challenge to this pastor, to say we've got, every single one of us has to be ready to die. It's going to happen. And to grapple with that. And sometimes after a funeral, we think about those things, don't we? And we search our hearts. Where are we at with that? But I want to look at the portion that's in the middle of that verse. The word of their testimony. And I want to talk about that as an option for what we traditionally think about as witnessing. So part of this is good news, and part of this is going to make you think and evaluate, and I like doing that, get us thinking. But part of it is good news, and the good news is this. The word in the New Testament for testimony is martyrio, where we get the word martyr. Except in the Greek, it doesn't mean martyr. It means testimony. And the Greek word testimony means what you say and what you do. The things you say and the things you do. In other words, it's not reciting the four spiritual laws or the four steps to peace with God or the Romans Road. Testimony in the New Testament is what we have witnessed so we can talk about, and what we do with our lives that other people can see. So here's the good news. Let's start with the good news. There really isn't any bad news to follow up. Spoiler alert. The good news is all of our lives, since the day that we became Christians, we have been testifying to Jesus. Now you think, Mike, when was that? Give me an example in my life, or help me find as I think back about my life. When was it? I want to be a testimony for Jesus, but I can't think of a time when I did that. Well, to simplify it, thank the Lord, we have an example today. And it was the reading of the scriptures this morning. Now, I'm not sure that, I think Christian and Leo, right? Is that their name? I'm not sure that they understood what they did today was a testimony to Jesus. And I don't know about you, but Kathy and I love kids. We love to watch them. They're just so, kids are just so cool. Teenagers. To watch them, their spontaneity, their willingness as they walked up following Mom, right? And got up here and stood in front of us all and participated. That is a testimony. That is the New Testament's version of witnessing. That's what witnessing is. And it affects all of us. What they did this morning, and what Mom did this morning to put that together, and I don't know if you were part of that plan, to put that together, that is witnessing for Jesus. And all, I use that illustration. Thank you, Lord, for that illustration. I was not expecting it at all. I use that illustration to help us understand that all through our lives as believers, we've done simple stuff like that, that we haven't even thought was witnessing for Jesus, but it was. Now I know I'm the same. There are plenty of things through life that I have done that wasn't a testimony, okay? Just to put that out there. We know we haven't lived perfect lives, but there are things that we have done that we don't even know, and we won't know until we get to heaven and Jesus is handing out the rewards. Remember, Jesus talked about that. He said there are going to be people when we get there, and you're going to be handed this reward, and we're going to say, Lord, when did I see you hungry, feed you? When did I see you thirsty and give you a drink? When did I see you in jail, referring to Christians in prison, and go visit you? I don't remember when it was. And all of a sudden, we're going to realize that simple act that we did that we didn't think was anything was something. That's why living as a Christian is so important. And the point, really, the point of all of this is when we live every single day, we don't need to be thinking about, I ran into this person and I think I should get my little booklet out and read to him the four steps to peace with God. Instead, what we can do every single day is witness actions or words as the Spirit leads us. Now, I want to add the other component to this, which is critical. And the other component is, and again, I want to challenge our 21st century and 20th century concept of witnessing. In many ways, I have been taught that witnessing is leading someone to the Lord, right? That's how we've been taught. You start, you tell them about Jesus. You tell them about repentance. You tell them about praying and receiving Jesus into their heart. And then you close. Would you pray with me? Just say these words after me or something along those lines of that format. But if you recall what Jesus was talking about, he had a different kind of format. And the format that Jesus was talking about was some plant, some water, and God brings the increase. I add a couple of more components to that. Some plow the ground, some till the ground, which is kind of taking those big chunk of plowing of dirt and kind of flattening it out and breaking up those clods of dirt. And then someone comes along and plants the seeds and then waters, either through rain, or if you have been in southern Minnesota, you see these big elaborate watering systems that they have. And then I add another component, because when I was growing up, we had a half-acre garden. And guess who got to take care of the garden? It wasn't Dad, I can tell you that. It was the boys. And I remember when I was a kid, my job was to weed the garden, right? Anybody ever done that? Sure. Rows and rows and half a day of weeding the garden. So there's that too. And watching those plants grow. But all of that, at this point, the plant is grown. And all of that, to this point, still hasn't produced fruit. Fruit still has to come, or carrots or corn or whatever it is that we're planting. So that whole process, every step in that process, needs someone to do something. And the encouragement about witnessing, or our testimony, our words, and our actions is, when you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do something, to say something, to smile at someone, to compliment someone, to encourage someone, to pray for someone, to pray with someone, anything like that, if you get in touch with the Spirit, is one of those steps. And what Jesus tells us is that one plants and another waters, and God brings the increase. So all along the path of life of an individual, you may only be doing one part. You might plant. You might water. You might plow. You might weed. Whatever else you do with plants. If it was grapevines, we know from the New Testament, and I know because we grew grapes, so my dad could make wine. And you have to prune the grapes. So you may be just pruning, and you don't see the results necessarily. Obeying the Spirit of God and just doing what God prompts us to do may be just one of those steps, and we may never know the result until we get to heaven and we're going through the crowd and all of a sudden we see this person. Oh my goodness, I remember you. I bumped into you at work and I never had any clue that you were a Christian or that you would become a Christian. That particular day, I remember now, looking back over it, all it was it looked like you were down. And I said, you know, the sun is shining today. Mild temperatures. That was yesterday. I think the sun may be shining. Well, the sun is shining, whether there's clouds or not. And I just noticed today that you do a good job at work. Encouragement. That may have been all it was. I don't know what it was. But every day we have those opportunities to just, as the Spirit prompts us, to minister to people in the name of Jesus. One more component I want to mention, and that is when Jesus talked about, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. He didn't mention whether or not that included what we traditionally think of as witnessing. It was just ministering to people. Now, I always like to go back to the life of Jesus, and so I want to challenge you again, get you thinking about this. How many times in Jesus' life can you think of, and we're all very familiar with the Gospels, can you think of that Jesus used something like the four steps to peace with God or the Romans Road? Can you think of any? So somebody comes to Jesus and wants healing. And he says to this person, you know, you need to repent. And you need to accept me. And I'll pray with you. You need to pray with me. Repeat after me. Probably the best person ever on the face of the planet to do witnessing would be Jesus. What did Jesus do? People came to him for healing, and what did he do? He healed them. Once in a while he said, go and sin no more, let something worse befall you, remember? But he healed them, and he healed them, and he delivered them, and he healed them, and he taught them. And the reason I point that out is because even Jesus knew this principle, that if you bless someone in the name of Jesus, at that point in time in their life, you've done what God wants you to do. Remember, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. You've done what God wants you to do. Now, here's the third component. And no, I haven't listed them 1, 2, and 3 because I kind of get annoyed by sermons that have three parts, but here's the third component. God brings the increase. Or Mike's version. Remember last time we talked about God's version and our version? The kingdom of God. Jesus knew the kingdom of God, and we're just looking for it. Here's God's version, and certainly Jesus' life and ministry was an example of this. When you do something for someone, it's not in our hands to make their decision for them. It's in their hands. How many people that Jesus healed do we have a record of in this book that became Christians? How many? We have no record of anyone that we know of. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. We have a record of 12 disciples that Jesus ministered to, and it didn't work with one of them. Every single one of those disciples had a choice. And Jesus left that choice with them. So the third component is this. And I'll tell you, if you start looking at witnessing in this way, you're going to run into the same challenge that I've run into. And that is when you do or say what God is putting on your heart, when you feel that impulse to encourage someone, to thank someone, to pray for someone, whatever it is, the challenge then becomes, if you're like me, the challenge then becomes, just leave it there. How many times I've wanted to go on and take that next step, thinking witnessing is closing the deal. How many times I have tried then to go that next step and take on God's job of closing the deal instead of trusting God that he'll take care of closing the deal. Now, I'm not saying don't use those methods or any one of those methods, because there will be times, at least there has been in my life, where God has distinctly prompted me to minister to people and they accept Jesus. But what I want to encourage you about is that even if you don't, if you're following the impulse of the Holy Spirit and you're ministering to someone, you can just leave it at that. God's got it. God's got the plan for that person's life. And 2 years later down the road, someone else will minister to him, or whatever God's plan is. God's got this plan of working with people. And the second part of that is that person is the decision maker. God honors that person's choice. Will they become Christians? Won't they become Christians? God's willing to say, it's up to you. No pressure. You choose. To me, it's an easy choice, but I've ministered to a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too, where I'm just astounded. They don't want it. Okay? That's their choice. I honor that choice. I don't get mad at them. In fact, that's a witness too. It's just leave it, because maybe somewhere down the road, God's going to give them another opportunity. And so witnessing is really our testimony. And this is the final part. Testimony means, what have I seen? What have I experienced? That's what I talk about. My testimony is what I know, what I've experienced about Jesus. Witnessing and testimony is not theology. You don't have to have gone to seminary to witness to people. Witnessing to people is just telling them what has happened to you. You know, I've never been on drugs. I've never had that kind of a problem. I know that you do. But I know this. I had plenty of problems, and I met Jesus, and everything changed. It's my testimony. I've never been on drugs. I can't tell you how to get off drugs, but I can tell you about Jesus, because I know that's what happened to me. Or another example would be, I went through this illness, this sickness, this challenge that came my way, and it was brutal. It was hard. But there was Jesus, and he just helped me through it. Or he helped my wife through it. Or he helped my husband through it. Or he helped my kid through it. Or I experienced this death in my family. And no, I don't have answers. I can't tell you how to get through grief. All I can tell you is this. I just stumbled through and kept my eyes on the Lord. and somehow we got through it. Why did this person die? I don't have the answers, but I know that Jesus got me through it, got our family through it, whatever the case may be, whatever the example may be. So witnessing is talking about what's happened to me, what's happened to us. That's what testimony is, and that's what witnessing is. So I'm going to try this. I don't know if you know this. Do you know this little chorus? He paid a debt he did not owe. So if you know it, you want to sing with me, I'm going to try this, see if I can get it in the right key. Because this is a testimony. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. And now we're going to stand and sing Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Hymn number 146. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let all their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, or as the curse is found. Or as the curse is found, or as far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders and wonders of his love. Now I want to remind you that we as a church have an opportunity to be witnesses by ringing the bell for the Salvation Army on December 16th and to wish someone a Merry Christmas. So there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex, and we would like to see that sheet filled. It's much more enjoyable if there are two of you working together, but whatever. Stop and take a look at that sheet and see what time slots are available. And now let's sing the blessing together.